Rules Committee meeting, and we have before us CS for Senate Bill number 119. Hope you have back slash K Michelle in front of you. That's one we're dealing with. We want to talk about a mistake that was made that we're going to try and correct here, and we also want to concern ourselves with that the zero fiscal note. So if I could have a motion to have this CS before us for discussion purposes.
So moved.
Thank you. Any objection to CS backslash K? All right, that's what we have before us. And Mr. Peterson, are you going to explain to us what's going on here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. The change in the CS you have before you is located in Section 1. What happened in Senate Finance is there was a library assistance grant fund in statute, and Senate Bill 119 came to the committee with a new materials grant for school libraries, and the committee amended that to also include a construction grant for public libraries in small communities around the state. And when those two grant programs were being developed in the committee, it was the decision of our office to eliminate the library assistance grant fund because, according to the Legislative Audit Division and Division of Finance in the administration, that grant fund had never been used since inception. No money was ever appropriated into it or out of it. So it just seems to make sense to clean that up in the statute. When we did that, though, we caused a little bit of a maelstrom when the bill moved from committee because apparently the program is being used, but the fund is not. So we were correct in our information that the fund is not being used, but the program is. A lot of federal money comes into the state for that program. The state matches that, and that's where all the public libraries get their grants each year. So it is a very active program, but the fund is not being used. So what we had done in the prior legislation was repealed all of the sections of statute that referred to the Library Assistance Grant Fund, and since we don't want to eliminate that program, which draws in federal dollars, the amendment that you see in Section 1 simply just repeals the word fund from that. So we are now, in essence, getting rid of the fund since it's not being used, but we are keeping the program so the department can continue to receive money for that, for those grants.
Well, thank you, Darman. So by keeping the program, we can still keep the funds coming from the federal government and that goes to municipal libraries. Is that primarily where those monies go?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. It's public libraries throughout the state.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for that explanation. Any questions, Mr. Peterson? Yes, Senator Terrio.
So all the entire repealer section is gone, even though the language that you're modifying is just 1456-300. Instead of repealing that, you're changing the word fund to program. What happens to these other 310, 320, 330, 340?
Through the chair, Senator Terrio, they stay the same. We're no longer repealing those because those are the elements of the program that are important, the eligibility requirements of the grant program that receives federal funds for the public libraries. So we're not changing any of the aspects of the grant. We're just repealing the word fund so that the fund that has not been used is now cleared from statute.
So all of those sections reference program?
Through the chair, Senator Terrio, yes. That none of the other sections refer to the fund, only that first section.
Okay, so is there, by dropping that one word, the fund ceases to exist?
Through the chair, Senator Terrio, yes, that's correct. Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Thanks very much, Darman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Gray, any comments from Senator Olson's office?
Dave Gray with Senator Olson's office. What's that tag line on the end of a thing that we endorse this ad? Yes, we approve the Senator approves the changes. Good changes. Thanks.
Oh, one question, though, I would have ask of you. The sponsor statement clearly needs to be rewritten. Who's doing that?
Senator, we'll work with Senator Stedman's office to make certain the sponsor statement's accurate.
Okay, good.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes.
Can you tell me how this bill started out and what the purpose of it is? I just haven't gotten a full scoop.
Through the chair, Senator Olson was approached last session to bring forward a program of grant monies to assist school districts with their library operations and that. So that was really the genesis of the bill. The bill picked up some interest from one of the other senators like that. It has brought this bill before you today. Senator Stedman's office has took an interest in the bill, too, for other libraries.
It amended it. It was amended in Senate Finance.
Please go ahead.
Did your office discuss when the possibility that once this gets put into statute and the interest is there, then we have continuing requests for additional funding? Where right now, it appears to me, this is probably a finance discussion, it appears to me that we're trying to do everything we can to equalize and normalize schools through the formula. And I would assume this has been covered in the formula previously. And I would hate to think that this is the first of many requests to have various line items outside the formula.
Ms. Prisner, would you pull a chair up, and so either of you may want to answer these questions. Mr. Gray?
I'd like to kind of defer to Senator Stedman's staff, because I was really not the principal aide on this thing. Jenny Osman was, and so he's more familiar with the intricacies of this.
Thank you, Mr. Gray. Senator Stedman, do you want to join us if you have any comments to add?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To answer your previous question, correcting the sponsor statement, language for the CS has been given to Senator Olson's staff, and so it's my understanding that that is being corrected. And the second question, Senator Green's question, it was not the intent of the Senate Finance Committee in its when they composed the CS, to supplant any funds from local school districts that are responsible for maintaining their libraries. Senator Elton actually had that concern in committee, and we did amend the bill prior to reporting it out of committee to address that. On page 3, line 29, that language was inserted into the CS, so it's very clear that these grants may not be used to supplant school district expenditures for their libraries. So it's quite possible that there may be very few libraries that can take advantage of the material grant if their appropriations from the state are suitable.
Thank you. Senator Stedman, any comments you care to make?
Bert Stedman, Senator for District A. On the capital side of the bill, which hasn't really been discussed, there's two major portions of it. There's a 50% capital match put in place to help construction of public libraries, and there's a population cap within there. But the capital grant match is maxed at 50% from the state. The municipality would have to put in a minimum of 20, and they can put in up to 50 or what have you. The department would then also rank, much like the harbor concept that we cleaned up, it would rank the requests prioritize them. Then the legislature, if the bill is implemented, the legislature at their discretion, when they feel the state is in a fiscal position to do so, may allocate some funds for this purpose. They may not. There's no intent this year to fund that bill if it is passed this year. The 10,000 headcount was put in there to exclude Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau, Eagle River, the major population centers, because their library request would be of such a substantial magnitude difference between all the other ones that it would overwhelm them, and the thought there is to have them addressed separately. Clearly, when a community like that Juneau is going to do a public library expansion versus a community like Haines, there's a huge difference in the scope that would be undertaken. Also within that, the intent is to have regulations written that would require ongoing maintenance, replacement reserves, and so on and so forth. Within that scope, that excludes communities that don't have the fiscal capability of operating and maintaining and running their public libraries. So this is not directed to the really small and organized areas, or we have library requests all over the state that with no ability for the communities to maintain and operate them. And again, it's also to exclude the large ones because they're of a different magnitude.
Thank you, Senator Stebbins. Senator Green, you have a question?
Okay, did you say a minimum of 50,000, or did you say 50%?
50%. 50% maximum contribution from the state. So we...
Okay, but on page 2, maybe I'm reading this wrong, on line 17, the local government entity in an amount not less than 20%.
The local government, correct.
Well,
so the local government, the idea there is to make, to get away from the state coming in and doing 100% financing, or the state with state financing and contributions from nonprofits or what have you. The municipalities would have no money invested in a particular project, because the feeling there is then they don't have an interest in maintaining them and a few other issues. So by requiring the communities to put in at least 20% in equity in the public library, that would allow them then to go to donors for 30 or even more. And then on the other side, the state is capped at a maximum of 50.
That's what I just found that. That's what I was searching for. It's on line 2 of page 2. Thank you.
So the if I understand it, then the private donors could put in more than the 30%. It would just reduce the state's portion.
Correct. But would not reduce the municipal portion of 20.
Has to be at least, has to be not less than 20%. Thank you. Senator?
What's the definition of the community? I understand, you know, your desire to exclude the larger Anchorage, you know, the examples that you gave, Fairbanks. But in Fairbanks, people say Fairbanks and they mean the entire interior of Alaska quite often. Mm-hmm. There's the city of North Pole, that's a community. There's the borough, that's a community. The borough in Fairbanks owns the libraries. Mm-hmm. So would that be the community that would be used for the count?
We have the list in the file. Okay. We... You know, we have a list, and we'll check it here in a minute, but I want to try to answer it off the top of my head first, and then we'll verify it with the data. Mm-hmm. North Pole would qualify. If you had a city over 10,000 within a borough, the borough may still, or the city would still qualify if it was, excuse me, if the city was under 10,000, it would still qualify if the city was over 10. But we do have the list here, and we could actually check it. And
through the chair, Senator Terrio, this question came up in Senate Finance as well, and the definition of the term community. It's not defined in statute. According to Ledge Legal, it's an all-encompassing term that's used throughout statutes to include, you know, all locations throughout the state where people reside. So it includes boroughs, it includes cities, it includes towns, it includes villages. So as Senator Stebbins said, the Fairbanks North Star borough would not qualify, but the city of North Pole would. So if the city of North Pole wanted to put up 20% and be the owner and operator of the public library in that community, then they would be eligible to apply for these grants.
Okay, now the community of Sutton, which is part of my district and part of in the MATSU, has been working on upgrading their library. In fact, we had a capital appropriation last year that fell to the governor's veto pen. Now, so would that qualify? If the MATSU borough oversees and owns the libraries, but the Sutton community is wanting to upgrade their library, and they've gotten a contribution from the borough, are they going to qualify? Because they're certainly under 10,000 people, but they're part of the borough.
If the community of Sutton was applying, they would qualify. If it was the borough that was applying, they would not.
So even if they're not an official village or official, you know, organized and incorporated city, they would be able to qualify?
Yes, it would depend on who owns the library. So if the Mat-Su borough owns the library, then they would not qualify because they're too large. If it was the community of Sutton that wanted to construct a public library in the community and own the library, then they would qualify.
And if you didn't have the limitation, would there not be a way of just excluding the larger communities just because they have the economic power to do stuff on their own? I mean, the senator talked about the program would just be overwhelmed by the large communities. Is it just automatic? Well, see, they are eligible for a grant, but it would be subject to our appropriation into, is it a collective pot that then funds these? What's the mechanism for the legislature on a yearly basis funding these grants? Do we actually have to make an appropriation into a grant fund? Is that how it works?
If we're talking about the capital?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, the legislature, at its own prerogative, would decide from year to year if they wanted to fund anything into this program. They, and I think that would gear on just our fiscal position at the particular time, and then the size and scope of the requests. There was discussion too on, you know, for instance, if you have the process as we have today, there's no ranking of who has the most current and urgent needs, and there's no relationship or there's not a good understanding of the scope of what's needed around the state. So by setting up a program like this, the communities then, if they so choose, which I'd expect most of them would go into this grant process, then would apply and be ranked. It's modeled a lot after the harbor concept, and again, how we dealt with the harbor concept was a 50% capital match, and then when they come outside of that program to ask for, like in my community, when they have a separate request of appropriation to fix a particular harbor, we just tell them they've got to go to the harbor grant. We're not going to fund it outside of the grant process, because when they go outside the process, they want 60, 70, 80, or 100% from the state. So we're trying to channel the request to ensure that the communities are going to maintain them and operate them as public libraries, and then through the process we will have ranked and fund, when we so choose to fund libraries, by the priority need around the state.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I can, just a couple more questions.
Senator, yes.
So the different communities will be able to put in an application. They'll be scored somehow, and you've left that criteria up to the department to come up with. And then if they're not funded, or only part of the list is funded 1 year, do they just continue, or they have to make another application the next year? And will it always be off a priority list? Can people expect to bump up the list? Or maybe they've been applying for 5 years, and boom, a new community applies, and they go right to the front of the list.
I think that is, Senator Terrio, through the chair, I think that's certainly a high likelihood that the list would be reprioritized from time to time. Hopefully, you know, it's not a total rewrite every year, but there would be requests that would come in that would be plugged in a particular position. and the folks below that would then would move down. If there was a if there was funding of $5 million, for instance, as an example, and there was it's envisioned anyway that the $5 million would start at the top and go down to however many projects you can pick up. And then if, as you have a rounding error at the last, they go down, at least that's what they did in the harbors, they went down until they picked up a little tiny harbor. And that happened to be further down the list, but the amount being asked for was very small. So they used most all of the appropriation. There was a hesitation to get involved in actually trying to put in statute the criteria for ranking. And I guess as another example, Mr. Chairman, that could possibly happen that the there'd be a discussion in the legislature that the legislature's not going to fund the program, and it sits for several years. But with the under this example, that you know, if there's no intent to fund the program for a substantial amount of years, there may be a discussion within the legislature to fund a particular library or something like that. That's not out of the question, but I personally like the idea of having a ranked process and review, and then the legislature deciding on what it's going to fund and then work on these particular lists over time.
Mr. Tarrant, Senator Green.
Do you have a list of the projects and the amount funded by the federal government in the last 10 years and the number funded by the state in the last 10 or 15 years? And as I recall, in about 97 or 98, I think all the federal library funds were depleted, and they were not going to do that for construction anymore. My concern with this is I think we're setting up a false hope that there's going to be a fund that's going to fund libraries. And in future, if this is put into statute, then there's going to be a big call on the legislature to fund this, even at a time when we may not have that money. And particularly on the community side, I'm very concerned and as well with the expectation that there's going to be a grant to different schools for different amounts. If we're not doing it now, what has changed that says we will do it?
Mr. Chairman, I think I hear a question in that.
Well, maybe.
Senator,
I don't know if
it
is or not.
It heads to the other side of the bill. I think the question concerned the library non-capital grants that I think you were the later part of your question was referring to. The earlier part as far as the 10-year review, we'll have to dig that information out. And we can do that, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. So, as I understand it, what we're dealing with here, what we're trying to do here, is that we have, in the past, we've had a program and we've had a fund. And what we are attempting to do in this CS is to eliminate the fund and maintain the program. To that end, Mr. Peterson, could you help us understand the fiscal notes that we have in front of us here?
Mr. Chairman, before
yes.
we turn to the fiscal notes,
Senator,
I just got a question on
yes.
the operational point.
We'll come back to the fiscal notes, Senator Tarrant.
Yeah. The language that was referred to earlier that says a library collection development grant may not be used to supplement school
yeah, what line are you on?
It's on page 3, line 29. I think Mr. Peterson had referenced it before. How will we know if the school has just been, you know, cutting back on their because of budgetary pressures, been cutting back on their expenditures on library, and they get access to a grant, how will we know if it was used to supplant? It seems like they'd just be catching up using a grant.
And this grant just is not to exceed $3,000, right?
Right. I mean, clearly, it seems like you're trying to convey to the schools, keep up with your libraries like you're supposed to out of the education funding. But then there's this allowance for $3,000. So if due to budgetary pressures, they haven't kept up as you would have liked or expected them to, and they use the $3,000 to catch up, is that supplanting? They shouldn't have fallen behind because...
Mr. Chairman, I have to admit, I wasn't the aide on this piece of legislation, so my understanding of it is not much larger than anybody else here. But there is Clark Greenies in the audience that's followed this legislation, and perhaps he can bring more to your answer of how this is supposed to happen.
And who was that, Mr. Gray?
Clark Greening.
Clark, okay. Mr. Greening, you've been volunteered. Would you come forward?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Clark Greening. I do work with the Alaska School Library Association, which is a part of the Alaska Library Association. And to get to your question, if we looked at Senator DiDario's question, on page 3, line 6, one of the eligibility requirements is contributes from the school district budget an amount that is not less than the grant award. I think the point here is
let's see. I'm sorry, okay. Mr. Greening, we are on
We're on page 3. Go down to line 15.
Okay, line 15. All right.
Yeah.
And would you repeat what you had
okay,
said earlier?
It's subsection 6, A6 mm-hmm. of the eligibility requirements at line 15 on page 3. Contributes from the school district's budget an amount that is not less than the grant award that is being paid for library collection materials.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I could, it seems to me that even if a school district has a part-time librarian, it's going to be more than $3,000. So,
and that is a lot of these libraries don't have librarians. They're on a shelf, and so we're trying to get the district to buy in. That's the whole point of this, but at the same time requiring that there is match.
So they wouldn't be able to get the $3,000 unless they matched it dollar for dollar, basically, because they have right. to have something in their budget that
that's right
is at least that much.
Yeah, correct.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. Senator Terry?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? Mr. Peterson, would you talk to us about the fiscal note then? The two fiscal notes in front of us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Senate Finance Committee substitute passed out and adopted a zero fiscal note for Senate Bill 119. A few days after the committee adopted the zero note and referred it on to rules, the fiscal note that you see dated 1/25/08 for $1.2 million was received by the committee. And we rejected the fiscal note at first and asked them to review it and provide another fiscal note, because the premise they're using, the department is using in this fiscal note, is that in FY09, the legislature will appropriate the maximum amount to satisfy as many grants as could possibly be applied for. $3,000 maximum for the material grants, 400 schools, you multiply those together, that's $1.2 million. We intend to create this program. We don't intend to fund it this year. We expect the regulations to be promulgated over the interim if the governor signs the bill, if the bill passes, and then the next year the legislature can decide in its FY10 deliberations whether or not they want to appropriate money. It could be zero, it could be anything up to $1.2 million for the material grants portion of the bill. So this is kind of a new precedent coming from the administration as far as how this fiscal note is put together. We disagree with the premise behind it, and so therefore we ask the committee to adopt the zero fiscal note.
Thank you. Mr. Peterson, Senator Terrio.
Well, even if there's no intent to appropriate this year, there's the possibility of appropriation the years out. So it seems like it should be at least an asterisk saying that if you're going to fund all the libraries that are in the state that would qualify up to the maximum, it could be between zero and that 1.2 million. So I don't think it's correct to say it's going to be zero and it's zero out the 5 years, because it might be the full 1.2 million.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stebbins.
I understand Senator Terrio's concern as far as recognizing the potential impact that, of all fiscal notes, that whatever we do, that the state may be setting itself up for. But the way they wrote this fiscal note, it would imply that the legislature is going to fund this to the max. I don't think that's very likely. I think it's more appropriate that the fiscal notes show the financial exposure that we're facing as a state, not to presume that we're going to fully fund something that most likely is not going to happen.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Terrio.
I agree with the statement, but it's clearly to show the financial exposure. To put zeros in the boxes is not right. And that's why we have, you know, the asterisk fiscal notes, but then you have to turn to the explanation. And we've got not only the potential grants and claim, but you've got a full-time position that they've also put in down here. Now, I don't know whether, you know, the finance committees this year intend to increase or fund the fiscal note for the personnel, but we clearly have set up a system that they have to come up with criteria, they have to distribute applications, receive applications, do scoring somewhere along the line. So we've got the issue of the grants and claims and the personnel time. At the very least, for the grants and claims, it seems like it should be an asterisk. And the administration, to write up the fiscal note at this point, they don't know whether this legislature is going to appropriate money for these grants or not. The Senate majority might not anticipate including it, but the House could. And then you get to conference committee or you're working things out. There could be money in there. So it seems like for the grants and claims, it should be asterisks across the board with an explanation.
Mr. Chairman.
A response to that, Senator Stebbins.
Yes, I think the asterisk, and then in the analysis, the definition is what I was trying to explain when I answered the earlier question of Senator Terrio. So I would agree with him that reflection of our potential impact needs to be in the fiscal note. There is no interest in funding this year, and there's no interest in adding that person as requested in the fiscal note. And if the department is so overtaxed with work that they can't handle this particular process that we're requesting them to do as far as the ranking and sorting, I suppose after a couple of years that discussion will come back to the legislature. But I'd be surprised if they can't in their work schedule accommodate it. I'm personally not interested in adding a lot of staff in the operating side of our budgets.
Thank you, Senator Sandman. The fiscal note that is at 1.2 million is just a reflection of the public school libraries and not a reflection of the community libraries. Is that true?
That is correct.
Senator Terrio.
Mr. Chairman, I think there would have to be something added to the explanation part about those potential grants. You know, we don't know whether a future legislature will appropriate for them, but clearly there's going to be a process for those communities to submit requests. And again, it's, we can't anticipate the hard dollar amount, but there should be something in the explanation. I think, you know, if the department, and perhaps Senator Stedman can explain whether the department had testified up in Senate Finance about the ability to absorb that, this effort going through the, I mean, there's going to have to be a reg package and that has to be published, that has to be put out. There's, you know, there's got to be some expense with that and personnel to do it. It seems like if the department felt like that would justify a person to manage this, it's appropriate for them to have listed it on the fiscal note. When the finance committees pass the operating budget, they have to fund the fiscal notes, and it's at that point that the legislature can zero that out and basically say, no, absorb it in your existing manpower. But if we think that the effort can be undertaken with no real number of man hours, I think certainly to set this thing up and get it running, there's got to be some man hours, and that needs to be clearly put onto the fiscal note. Whether we fund the fiscal note at the end of the day, that's a separate question.
Thank you. Any response to that, Senator Stedman? Or anybody else have any other questions?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would agree with that. That there's going to be a workload increase. There's no doubt about it. I think, as stewards of the Treasury, we should be very cautious in funding fiscal notes as we end our session every year, and scrub them for the additional employees asked. It seems like every time you ask a question, fiscal note comes back with adding a few more people. So I'm not really, is it from a broad perspective, I kind of take some of their employee headcount requests with a grain of salt. If they're truly needed, we should look at it. If it's just a maneuver to get another body to pump up their budget, I think we need to look at that very, very carefully.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Mr. Peterson, do you have a comment?
Mr. Chairman, I was just going to
Senator Green in a minute.
I was just going to make the committee aware that David Teal is here, and we've discussed his fiscal note with him, so he might be able to provide some additional testimony on the history of this note and its validity.
Okay, Mr. Teal, would you come up? Senator Green, question now, or do you want to wait till we hear from Mr. Teal?
It didn't matter.
Okay. Mr. Teal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm David Teal from Legislative Finance. And I think first you need to be aware that there will be two separate fiscal notes. The school one would be Department of Education. The municipal one would be from Commerce and Economic Development. I haven't seen that fiscal note. This one, however, I think is incorrectly prepared, because if you'll notice on the fiscal note, it's a new format that we're using this year. And the first column for 09 is appropriation required. And then to the right of that, there are columns, again, starting with 09, that's information. Mm-hmm. And that those information columns go out into the future. So with respect to Senator Terrio's questions, the information columns are exactly why the format has changed, that they should be putting either asterisks in there or explaining here that this is the maximum that could be needed. But remember that this information columns, all of them, are not appropriations. What they've done here is use the appropriation column and put the $1.2 million there instead of in the information column for 09. And as Senator Stedman has testified, there is no intention to fund it this year. If you pass this fiscal note, then they get $1.2 million because it's in the appropriation column. If the same $1.2 million were in the 09 information column, it would be a zero fiscal note. And of course, the $61,000 that goes along with the position, again, I would zero that out, because if you actually appropriate money for this program, either in 09 or any time in the future, presumably it would be in the operating budget or capital budget, depending on where you want it to put it. When you fund the grants, you might want to fund a position with it. But it doesn't make sense to me to be funding a position before you fund the grants. So really just an explanation of why we have an appropriation column added to the fiscal note. and that, that this one, the 1.2 million is in the wrong column.
Thank you, Mr. Teel. Question, Mr. Teel, and Senator Terrio.
Thank you. So, well, I agree that, you know, it should be either 0 to 1.2 or an asterisk with an explanation. I'm not sure that I agree on, well, and you said, well, if we pass this, this fiscal note, the money will be appropriated. Of course, fiscal notes go, fiscal notes don't appropriate money, appropriation bills do. And so it would have to be built into an appropriation bill. And if the legislature doesn't want to appropriate money this year, we just, you know, you don't put anything in for this, this particular fiscal note. On the personnel part, though, it seems like the fact of writing the reg package and, you know, getting the public input and determining what the scoring criteria is going to be, that's almost more of a manpower intensive effort than, once you get the program up and running, just receiving the applications and running them through the tabulation. So, and if you want to get that criteria all set up before you actually start soliciting for grants, it seems like perhaps you, you know, you would want to consider the manpower needs early on.
Through the chair.
Yes.
Never argue with a former co-chair. Senator Terrio is correct.
Two of them up here.
In this, that the point I'm trying to make is that the there is an appropriation column on here, and it's true that having the fiscal note does not mean it's necessarily attached to the operating bill, which is what where the money actually flows. You're also correct in saying that the $61,000 for personal services may be to draft regulations and to set up the program, which means there's nothing wrong with having that position funded in the fiscal note. It's just that that's a choice you make in adopting the fiscal note, is if you want someone to set the program up and they claim they need that person now so that it can be funded in 2010, makes perfect sense.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're going to think of something like a limited entry program for co-chairs of finance. We have three of them in the room, and it's it could take a long time. Senator Terrio.
So, Mr. Chairman, it seems like our options now, according to Mr. Teel, we should have two fiscal notes, and we've only got one here. Either the committee can write the fiscal notes, as the discussion has indicated, or go to the departments and say, you know, we'd like a fiscal note from each of you, and this is how we would like the information to be presented. So I guess I'm wondering what you as chairman would prefer to do.
Take a break, Senator Stedman, could you come up?
Where's the shredder?
Please, we have someone from the department here. If you'd come forward and talk to us about fiscal notes, please, if you will.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Richard Luther. I'm the legislative liaison for the Department of Education. And when we got the fiscal note for this, or the request for it, we looked over the bill and developed a fiscal note based on the assumption that it could be funded. We found out how many school libraries would qualify, and then if the bill were funded, we put the amount in, that the maximum amount for the funds. And also in discussions with the state library, they indicated that they would need a position to be able to administer the program. After we submitted it, we got a request to submit either a zero or indeterminate. And in talking to Eddie Jeans, in looking over the bill, the problem we had is we can determine what it would cost if it were funded. So that's why we put the fiscal note. If it were not to be funded, we could put an indeterminate in saying that we didn't know what the appropriation would be. It could be anything from zero up to the maximum amount, and we could put it in that way if that's your request. But the way the bill reads, if someone were to ask how much would this cost if it were funded, that's the way we develop the fiscal note.
Thank you, Mr. Luther. Questions, Mr. Luther? Senator Terrio.
Well, I think you're right. You can look at the text and determine what the upper limit is, but you have no way of knowing what might actually be appropriated. And so that, to me, begs that it should be an asterisk with an explanation.
And the department, are you comfortable doing that, Mr.
Chairman? No, we wouldn't. We could develop one and submit it. And then in the analysis part, that's the way it'll read. That without knowing what the appropriation is, it could be anything from zero up to that amount.
Thank you very much, Mr. Luther. Any further questions? Appreciate your comments. Any further questions the members have? Senator Green.
Take an ease, please.
A brief at ease. Any further questions of anyone in the audience? Who haven't we talked to here? Find somebody out there.
The girl behind the camera.
Okay.
Justified, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Well, I think we've heard from everyone involved. Is there a motion then? Well, we have a motion. We've adopted the CS for discussion purposes, and now I'm looking for a motion to move us forward with this.
Well, not to move us forward, but to adopt, right, not to move it out, but to adopt, officially adopt the CS.
Right.
So moved.
Thank you. A motion is to adopt the CS. Is there any objection? The CS is adopted.
And you have made the official request to DOE for the new fiscal note.
Right.
That would catch up
the with indeterminate the fiscal note. Anything further to come before us?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we have to have a motion and actually have a vote on the fiscal notes that we anticipate getting.
Yeah.
Could have been one motion to be
okay. Right. I'd ask for a motion then to adopt the indeterminate fiscal notes.
So moved.
Is there any objection? All right. We have adopted the indeterminate fiscal notes, and meeting's adjourned.
Go too far.